The scripture reading this morning is Ephesians 5, verse 17 through Ephesians 6, verse 4. We begin reading at Ephesians 5, verse 17. The text this morning is Ephesians 6, verse 4. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text this morning is Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a few weeks, Lord willing, we will look at God's calling for Christian mothers in the home. This morning, we look first at God's calling for Christian fathers in the home. I think we are all well aware that God's calling for Christian mothers in the home is a controversial topic today. The Bible is very clear on the calling of Christian mothers in the home. In Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, it states explicitly that the older mothers in the church are called to teach, to exhort the younger mothers in the church to be keepers at home. Older mothers in the church here are called by God to teach the younger mothers, to teach their own daughters who are young mothers, and to teach other young mothers in the church to be keepers at home. Not to be working outside of the house and building a career. Yet as with many things, We know that the attitudes and the thinking of the world today has made its impression on the church, has made its influence on families, on our view of work, on our view of careers, and on the position and calling of women, mothers, in the home. To be only a keeper at home today is certainly to be frowned upon in the world, even mocked. It is, this is the thinking, it is to deny a woman her own rights to be free and to have a fulfilling life outside of the home. That's how the world thinks of it. And we know there's always the financial pressure as well that we feel, or the allurement of the possibility of having more money, that can motivate mothers to leave the house and go out and work. Yet the Bible speaks of motherhood, of being a keeper at home, in very high and honorable terms. To be called a mother, to be given the calling to be a mother, to be a keeper at home, is to be highly honored of God. And that's something that I think we ought to emphasize, and that ought to be emphasized in the preaching as well. To be a keeper at home is God's calling towards mothers. This is how mothers honor God's authority in their lives. This is where Christian mothers will find their joy and their contentment and freedom. This is the way even in which mothers, Christian mothers, are saved, carrying out their calling faithfully in the home. But that sermon will have to wait until a few weeks from now, perhaps at the occasion of another baptism coming up. Before we look at God's calling for Christian mothers in the home, it is good and it is proper for us to look at God's calling for Christian fathers in the home. And that's what we do this morning as we look at Ephesians 6 verse 4. Christian mothers are certainly not the only ones in the home. There are Christian fathers as well, who although they have the calling to go out of the home and work and to provide for the needs of their wives and their children, they also have a very specific calling when it comes to raising the children in the home. In fact, as we will see this morning, the fathers have the chief and the ultimate responsibility for the raising of covenant children. This morning, then, you could say we began a kind of mini-series on God's calling for parents in the home. This morning, we take as our theme God's calling for Christian fathers in the home. We look at that theme under 3 points. We see that this is a high responsibility. Second, we see that this involves a twofold calling. The text makes that clear. And then third, we see that this is a wonderful blessing. God's calling for Christian fathers in the home. In Ephesians 6 verse 4, it is put in very clear language that the responsibility for raising covenant children in the fear of the Lord ultimately rests upon the shoulders of the fathers. Notice how the Holy Spirit puts it in verse 4. "And ye fathers." It does not say, "and ye fathers and mothers." It does not say, "and ye parents." It says, "and ye fathers." That's deliberate. That's clearly the case when you see how that's in direct contrast with the language that Paul uses in verses 1 and 2 when he talks about parents. Verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother." But then in verse 4, it doesn't use that language. It doesn't use the word parents or the phrase fathers and mothers. It addresses fathers. "And ye fathers." Now, this is not to deny that mothers have a calling in the home. Mothers most certainly do have a calling in the home. We know that. In fact, as the Scriptures would have it, mothers would be the ones most intimately involved or most directly involved in the day-to-day caring and raising of the children. For the mothers are exactly the ones who are the keepers at home. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. The fathers go out and provide for the needs of the wives of their wife and their children. The young mothers are called to be keepers at home. And that means that the young mothers are most intimately, most directly involved in the raising of the children. The mothers are the ones up in the middle of the night, taking care of the children, feeding the children. The young mothers are there in the morning to make sure that the children catch the bus and get off on their way to school. The mothers are there in the afternoon when the young children and older children get home from school, from off the bus. During all her daily interactions with her children, the mother is there instructing the children, encouraging the children, rebuking the children, comforting the children, raising the children. That's all true by very virtue of the fact that the Christian mother is faithful in her calling to be a keeper at home. She is at home. She is with the children. But the point of the text is this. Fathers have the primary responsibility for the raising of the covenant children. Fathers are called to provide for the needs of the children. Fathers are called to instruct their children. Fathers are called to be the leaders in their children's spiritual growth. Fathers are the ones who are to be giving the structure and the spiritual structure in the home. Fathers are the ones who are laying down the expectations for the family and who are enforcing those expectations. Fathers set the standards in the home, and fathers are called to teach these standards and to carry out discipline. This is the father's responsibility. The reason that is true, Paul has already made clear back in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul says in very clear language that the husband is the head of the wife. In Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23, we read this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." And so now, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, when Paul addresses fathers specifically, he does it exactly because fathers in the marriage bond with their wives are the head of their wives. And so even as parents raise up their children together as one flesh, as the parents together, yet in that relationship, the husband is always the head of the wife. And so the responsibility ultimately falls on the father, the husband. Even as they as parents raise the children together, the husband is still the head of the wife. And as the head of the wife, he is also the head of the family. And even so, then though the mother, even though the mother might be the one most intimately involved, most directly involved in the raising of the children, all the work that that mother does is ultimately the responsibility and work of the father. For he is the head of the wife and of the family. Now, some might hear that and respond to that and say, that's pretty chauvinistic. That diminishes the wife then only to be the servant of the husband. Not at all. The point Paul is emphasizing is first this. Husbands need to love their wives. Husbands, fathers, are called to lay down their lives for their wives and for their children, for their families, as the head, as Christ did. But the point is especially also this. The heavy burden of the responsibility for the direction and the leading and guiding of the household falls not on the mother, but on the father. The mother, the wife, is spared from that primary responsibility because in her work, she is called to submit to the direction and the leading of her husband. He is the one who is ultimately accountable before God as the head of the home for the raising of the children. Now that's an important message for us today. For us as fathers this morning, that is important to keep in mind because I think there is a struggle for us as fathers on both sides to fall short of our responsibilities. On the one side, there is the struggle for fathers to insist that their young wives be keepers at home, so that fathers can think that it's not very important. Even though it is the clear will of God, it's not very important that their wives, who are young mothers, be keepers at home. And soon what you have is this: fathers who have become the keepers at home, while the mothers are pursuing a career. Fathers who have neglected to exercise their headship in the home, and the wife, by necessity, perhaps, stands up and takes the place of being the head and acting as the head in the home. That's shameful for husbands to neglect their duty to act that way. And soon, perhaps what you have is this: husbands who are even encouraging their wives, who are young mothers, to be outside the home. Perhaps so that the husband's responsibility is not so heavy for him, and his wife can shoulder some of the responsibility of the husband, all the while neglecting her own calling before God to be a keeper at home. Oftentimes, for merely financial reasons. And that's shameful too. When husbands are putting part of their own responsibility on the wives, for the wives to carry, and the husbands are even encouraging their wives to ignore God's calling for the wife, because He wants her to help him in his own particular calling. Understanding all the while this morning that the wife is to be the helper of the husband. But the other real struggle is this extreme. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is this, that the fathers have this kind of attitude. Well, I'm the head of the household. I go out and work all day. I'm the head of the household. I have so many other responsibilities that I don't have this responsibility to raise up my children. I delegate that entirely to my wife. I'm the head, and I make that decision. There are a lot of things that can cause us to have that kind of attitude as well. I need to keep pursuing my career. I need to provide for my family. That's my responsibility as husband, to pursue my career. Maybe I have work to do for the school board that I need to do. Maybe I'm on council and there is work, a lot of work in my position in the council room, and this is my responsibility, so that I don't have the responsibility to raise my children. However legitimate these other activities may be, the Word of God comes to us and says, "And ye fathers." The instruction and the rearing of the covenant children is your responsibility. Whatever other responsibilities you might have, this is exactly why your calling is a heavy responsibility and a high responsibility. Your first priority as father is to bring up your children in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. That's your responsibility before Almighty God. Fathers are servants, servants of God, to raise up God's own children. Now, when I put it that way, perhaps you see how truly high this responsibility is. Fathers, the children that God has called you to give, the children that God has given you are not your own. They are God's children. They are God's children. And God has placed you over them as the one He has particularly chosen to be His servant in this capacity, to raise up His children in the nurture and the admonishment of His name. And just as they are God's children, God calls you to be a picture to them of who God is as their Heavenly Father. You are called to reflect the fatherhood of God towards your children. And you see how high responsibility that is when you reflect on how you enjoy God as your Father. And as you see how perfect and good God is as your own Father. In the Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day 9, we have some beautiful words that describe what it means for us that God is our Father. What does it mean for you to confess that God is your Father? This is part of the answer that I can trust, that we as fathers can trust in God entirely. I have no doubt, but He will provide me all things that I need for soul and body. I know He will care for me and that He loves me and He does everything for my good so that even the evils that He sends my way, I know He will make them turn out for my profit and advantage. That's what we enjoy as fathers when we look to God as our Father. And we as earthly fathers are called to reflect that kind of perfect fatherhood in our dealings with our children. So that our children can entirely trust in us. So that our children know we care for them and we love them. And whatever evils we might send upon them, whatever discipline we might give them, they know that we are making it, serving it, using it for their profit and advantage. Fathers, just as you have great joy and comfort knowing God as your Father, and that He loves to spend time with you in prayer, and He loves caring for you and working all things for your good, and you can have peace and rest. So your children ought to have that same comfort and joy when they reflect on who you are as their earthly Father. That's humbling, isn't it? That gives us as fathers occasion for repentance, doesn't it? For we do not always love our children with that perfect fatherly love. So often we are not reflecting the kind of fatherly love and pity that God has towards us. But so often we as fathers and in our interactions with our children are motivated by our own short tempers or by our own lack of patience or by our own hobbies and our own interests, so that we often don't even care to reflect the fatherly love of God towards our children. We see our need for repentance. And we also see our need for prayer. Fathers, Christian fathers, are those kinds of people who are always in need of prayer. How can you even be a decent Christian father if you are not a man, first of all, characterized by prayer? For Christian fathers are always in need of grace. Christian fathers are always in need of the Holy Spirit. Christian fathers are always in need of the forgiveness of sins. Christian fathers are always in need of strength for their daily callings as Christian, as fathers, to be responsible, faithful fathers to their children. And as we'll see this afternoon, God only gives His grace, and He only gives His Holy Spirit, and He only gives the enjoyment of the forgiveness of sins. He only gives the strength to carry out our callings as fathers in the way of us continually asking God for them. That gives us as fathers reason for self-reflection. These are things we struggle with. May we be fathers who are characterized by humble, penitent hearts. Fathers who are characterized by praying continually for grace and for the Holy Spirit to carry out this high responsibility. In the text, Paul gives specific pointed instruction on what our calling is as fathers. He gives us a twofold calling in the text. A negative aspect and a positive aspect. Paul writes, "And ye fathers, negatively," this is the calling, "provoke not your children to wrath, but positively bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." First, provoke not your children to wrath. That word, provoke to wrath, could be translated also this way. exasperate or irritate. The idea is this: do not treat your children in such a way that you make them bitter and angry with you, that you treat them wrongly, you make them feel wrongly treated, and in that way they rise up in anger against you and resent you. In Colossians 3, verse 21, the parallel passage to this text, Paul writes this: "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Do not exasperate. Do not embitter your children, lest they become disheartened, lest they become broken in spirit and lack motivation for their callings and station in life, lest they become discouraged, as if perhaps they're worthless. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that fathers and mothers may never anger or upset their children. Oftentimes they do. Exactly when their children want to walk in the way of sin or disobey their parents, and father brings down discipline upon the child. But the idea of the text is this: don't treat your children wrongly so that you encourage them to act spitefully and unfavorably towards you. There are many different ways in which we as fathers can provoke our children to wrath, and perhaps that's also why Paul addresses fathers in the text. Perhaps fathers, but mothers as well, but fathers can easily provoke their children to wrath. First, you can provoke your children to wrath by placing unjust demands upon them and giving them unjust punishments for those unreasonable demands. Placing unjust demands upon your children that they are simply not capable of carrying out. Commanding your children to do things that they're not physically or mentally capable of doing, and then bringing down harsh punishment upon them because they're not doing those things. You understand how that provokes a child to wrath. They can't do it, and you're punishing them because they can't do it. Maybe your one child is not as gifted or has the same abilities as another child. Yet your one child seems to be able to do this, so you require your other child to do that, even though they can't do it. They don't have those gifts and abilities. To hold your one child to the standard or abilities of another child is to embitter your child and cause them to resent you as his or her father. Instead, we are called to be compassionate and understanding towards our children, to know and understand not just their strengths and abilities, but their weaknesses and frailties. Just as God, as our Father, has pity upon us, and as we sing, God remembers we are dust. Second, you provoke your child to wrath when you play favorites with your children. Just think of Jacob in Genesis. Father Jacob with Joseph. Jacob gave Joseph that coat of many colors. He was showing favoritism to Joseph. And what did it lead to? Joseph's brothers becoming embittered, provoked to wrath against Joseph, certainly. You can also understand how they would have been resentful towards their father. We need to be careful here. We know that there are children that have more pleasant personalities than other children. There are children that might share the same kind of hobbies and interests that we have. Think of Isaac with Jacob and Esau, and how Isaac loved Esau, and we read Rebekah loved Jacob. It ought not to be that way. Each child ought to know he is equally loved by his father. Third, you provoke your child to wrath by being inconsistent in your dealings with them. Maybe yesterday, I laughed at my child when he said something very rudely. Perhaps he said it in the home and we laughed. But today, my child says the exact same thing in public, and I severely chasten him and tell him how rudely he's spoken. But the child says, yesterday I said it and Father laughed, and today I say the exact same thing and now Father is punishing me. That doesn't make any sense. That's being inconsistent. Or maybe you chew out your child for acting rudely or for using foul language. Yet, in your own conversation and interactions with other adults, your child hears you using that exact same kind of language. That's being inconsistent. You can understand how that provokes your child to wrath. That's being inconsistent. That's really being hypocritical. And we all know how frustrating it is when someone acts hypocritical towards us, don't we? When someone is being two-faced and hypocritical, it is frustrating. We may not act that way towards our children. Maybe we try to act one way on Sundays at church, but throughout the entire rest of the week, we act completely different to our confession. Our children see that. Our teenagers see that. Our children know what we are doing. They know that one way or another, it's not right. Sometimes, perhaps often, our own hypocrisy can cause our children to resent their parents, and perhaps then also their parents' faith. Because their parents are living one life in the church, yet the other 6 days they're living completely contrary to what they say they confess on Sunday. That's real, congregation. Children grow up and leave the church because of that. And it's understandable in one way. But it ought not to be that way. Let us live consistent throughout the rest of the week with what we confess on Sunday. Fourth, we provoke our children to anger by simply neglecting our duties towards them. Your child is growing up and your child needs his father in his life. She needs her father in her life. Yet you never spend time with your child. You never talk to them, show them that you care about them. Or maybe your child knows that he needs discipline or she needs discipline. They know they've done something wrong and they deserve discipline. And they are testing you as their parents. Are you going to give me discipline? Yet you don't care about it. You never speak up. You never rebuke them or say anything against it. For godly covenant children, that provokes them to wrath. Covenant children know that parents who faithfully discipline them, parents who are diligent and consistent with sternly rebuking them, are parents that they can trust. Parents they know who truly care for their best interests and are willing to do what they need to raise their children. Children can know their parents, such parents, are going to be with them through thick and thin and give them spiritual guidance and godly wisdom. Covenant fathers know this. Your covenant children who love the Lord are truly thankful for you. And maybe not now, but they will be thankful for you when you are faithful in your duties. Faithful in discipline, faithful in instruction, faithful in love. There are many ways we can provoke our children to anger. Speaking condescendingly towards them. Failing to recognize that they are their own individual persons with their own unique personalities. That they are not an exact copy or replica of their father. By being physically cruel towards them. Speaking hate-filled words towards them. Fathers provoke their children. Instead of provoking our children to wrath, Paul says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the idea there is this, nourish them. Bring them up. The idea of that word, bring them up, is this, nourish them. Just as you might nourish a plant that you take care of in the home. Nourish them so that they grow up correctly and they grow up strong. Now you wives and mothers who have indoor flowers and plants in the home, you know what it means to nourish, don't you? You need to make sure that those plants in the home are taken care of, that they have the right environment, that they have the right amount of sunlight, that they're being given the right amount of water, that they're growing in the right soil. It takes care to nourish, to bring up plants. You know that because if you would leave the care of your plants to your husband for 2 weeks, well, perhaps after 2 weeks, those plants would be dead because your husband's drowned them with water or completely forgot to water them at all. Maybe the farmers know what this means with the little calves that are born in the barn. Farmers have to bring up those young calves carefully. Make sure that they're kept warm. Make sure that they're well fed. Make sure that they're given the right medications at the right times. Those calves need the proper love and proper care of an intelligent, loving farmer in order to prosper. Otherwise, the flock will always be miserable and sickly. That's the idea here. For covenant fathers to raise children, they need to nourish, bring them up. That takes work. Children who grow up in the fear of the Lord, children who grow up and have their own godly households, that doesn't just happen, congregation. God is a God who uses means. He uses fathers, covenant fathers and mothers, to take care of the precious little lambs that He has entrusted to them. How are fathers to nourish, to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord? The text uses two specific words: nurture and admonish them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those two words are very significant. The word nurture really has the idea of discipline, corrective physical discipline. You nurture a child, you care for a child, you bring that child up by giving that child proper discipline. And in the passages in Proverbs that speak of the use of the rod to raise the children, all apply here. You use the rod. You bring up children in the way of nurturing them. Corrective physical discipline to help them grow in the right way. The word admonition in the text has this idea: instruction. That is, corrective verbal instruction. So what you have is, you have discipline, nurture, and then you have instruction, admonition. Those two things go together: physical discipline, verbal instruction, the rod and reproof. What kind of admonition? Well, as you discipline your children, you tell them why you're disciplining them. You tell them why what they did was wrong and what they ought to have done instead. You tell them about how God chastens His people to help them learn the right way. And then you always bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and cause them to know that though there is chastening, there is always forgiveness in Jesus Christ. This is the calling of fathers. And just as fathers would hold their children accountable to the calling to obey their parents, so God holds us as fathers accountable to this calling. And that's really the context, to keep balance in the home. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, Paul gives instruction to the children. This is your calling. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. But just to make sure things are balanced, to keep the proper perspective, Paul turns to fathers and says, fathers, as the head of the home and of the children, bring them up right. Don't abuse your position. Treat your children right. And what does the end of verse 4 say? In the Lord. Discipline them, admonish them in the Lord, so that in all your work, in raising your children, the Lord can put His stamp of approval upon your work. He says, well done, faithful servant. So that in all your work, in raising your children themselves can receive it as from their Heavenly Father. This twofold calling, this high responsibility that God gives to covenant fathers, is a great blessing. It results in great blessings when it is carried out faithfully, and therefore it is a great blessing in itself. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we read up We read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Carrying out our callings before God faithfully as fathers, by God's grace and His blessing, we save our children from many painful and sinful experiences, many sinful habits which would make their lives miserable. Carrying out our callings before God faithfully as fathers, by God's blessing and God's grace, we raise up sons and daughters who will be the future generations of the church, who will give God the glory in their lives as well. Carrying out our callings before God faithfully as fathers, we have this joy. We know that God's commands are being kept in my own life. God's name is being glorified through my own faithful carrying out of my duty. Carrying out our callings faithfully, there are many blessings, and therefore the calling itself is a blessing. May God give to us as a congregation strong fathers. May God give us faithfulness to our calling. For His joy and His glory, for a blessing upon the church itself, for a blessing upon our children, so that even in doing hard work, we might enjoy the blessing that our children will be to us as we have been faithful fathers to them. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee for our place in the church. We thank Thee for our place in Thy covenant. Cause us to be faithful to our covenant callings. May the preaching go forth powerfully. May it have been spoken in truth. And may it be used for our spiritual profit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.